Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the International Mastermind Association Saturday morning Blog Talk Radio Show. You've got several fantastic hosts today, and from the Plan with Intention Mastermind Group, as well as the Palm Beach Life Planners, from the Plan with Intention Mastermind Group, I am Danelle McNeil. Also on the line, we have
Chad Jackson on the line with you this morning. How's everybody?
Good. And Rose Young. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. You also have Vaughn Young. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And from the Palm Beach Life Planners on the line,
you have Ann McNeil, the master builder, building stronger and better lives. Good morning.
And we are energized and ready this early Saturday morning to be on the air with all of you. So we invite you to invite others, call, text, or email them, and let them know that we are live and on the air. You can join us via the internet by logging on to blogtalkradio.com/masterminders or by telephone calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again is 661-554-9219. If you want to communicate with us while we are live on the show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room, also on Skype, and your Facebook page. You can visit us at our group at International Mastermind Association, also on our Facebook page at IMA Blog Talk Radio. Let us know that you're listening and leave your post there as well. Today we are continuing the chapter on the sixth sense in Napoleon Hill's best-selling book, Think and Grow Rich. But before we get started, we do want to share with you some information about the International Mastermind Association, and we'll be right back.
The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, "Education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money," end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
And we have returned to finish our book discussion, Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, the original version, restored and revised. So are we ready to get started this morning?
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, let's get it going.
Okay. So, like Danelle just said, we're discussing the Think and Grow Rich, the sixth sense. And right now we want to start on page 236, towards the top of the page, where it says that the sixth sense is not something that one can take off and put on at will. I want to start right there. I'm just going to read that paragraph and then give you a little chance to make some comments. Let's start it off. It says the sixth sense is not something that one can take off and put on at will. The ability to use this great power will come slowly through the application of the other principles outlined in this book. So if you have read the book, we know some of the principles that that Napoleon Hill has outlined, like faith and auto-suggestion and, specialized knowledge, imagination, and organization skills. So after you master those, seldom does any individual come into a workable knowledge of the sixth sense before the age of 40. More often, the knowledge is not available until one is well past 50 because of spiritual forces which the sixth sense is so closely related, do not mature and become usable except through years of mediation, self-examination, and a serious thought. So I just want to stop right there, just to pause for a little bit to kind of give you guys some chance to respond on that about coming into the sixth sense by the age of 40, actually being able to receive that knowledge by the age of 50, and how it works so closely with the sixth sense. Anybody would like to add a couple of words? Okay. Sounds like somebody coming up from you. No? Okay, well, then we'll move on. Do we have any callers?
Okay. Well, yeah, Chad, I, as a matter of fact, would like to add a couple of things. I believe, this is Janelle.
Okay.
I believe that it's very possible for a person to come into the knowledge of their sixth sense even before 40.
That's what I was thinking.
Or even before later on in life, depending on what their practice has been.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I'm not 40 yet, but I've long been conscious of my sixth sense,
mm-hmm.
and the operation of it, being in tune with it, knowing when it speaks to me or mm-hmm. when it nudges me, when it prompts me.
Right.
But again, I think like we've mentioned in past shows, it's almost like a muscle, the more it's used and exercised, I'll just say it like that, the more it's used and exercised, I believe, the stronger it gets for a person.
Cool. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I believe. And that's the reason why I really posed the question, because we also don't want the individual that's reading this book, no matter what the age is, to be discouraged or to give
right.
up with learning and understanding the principles that are outlined
right.
in this book. We see that where it says the numbers, but I do believe in the same way that you believe that, you know, we can kind of, you know, depending on what your practice is, if you're actually doing that self-examination, you might not, you know, some of us wait till we get in our 20s to start really examining ourselves, but some people start off at a much earlier age,
right.
having that meditation time and serious thought. So that's one point that I wanted to point out. Anybody else? Or
and also, when you're younger, it's easier because you're not, you don't have so much responsibilities or too much to, I've learned when I say younger, let's say the teenagers. If they put it into practice now, I mean, that's a plus, you
yeah,
know, because they're not worrying about or have to worry about going to work. You're only worrying about getting your education, you know, applying yourself, working on self-development. And, you know, if you really put it into play right now, you know, just imagine when they turn 40.
Yeah, but Rose, you know something? That's why it's so important for us to actually get the word out and become teachers of this concept, because if, like you said, it's easier for them in their teens, but if they don't start to grasp it in their teens or in their young lives, all of those other things come into play.
Uh-huh.
All of I'm an adult now, right? The responsibilities
mm-hmm.
of life. I'm an adult now. I have to worry about this. Oh, I'm keeping up with the Joneses. I'm going to hang out with my homeboys. all of those things come into play as they get older. So it's really important that we like give them the game right now. You know what I mean? As young as possible. It's never too soon. It's never too early to start teaching this concept, because the sooner they grasp it, the better their lives will be, and in fact, it'll be an impact on our community. So
yeah.
You know, and for the record, I'm right on the verge of being 40. I mean, I'm so 40 years old right now. So 40.
That's all right, Ron.
Yeah. See, well, that's why I said that, because I know our group is not there yet, but you know, we're like really almost there. But the key that I found out is that as we do continue to operate in the principles that he suggested before this, that you do kind of come into knowledge of your sixth sense, and like Danelle says, kind of up to you to work that in order to get more familiar with it, build that relationship with your sixth sense so that you be able to operate in it more often than not. So let's go ahead and move on to the next part. It says... No matter who you are, or what may have been your purpose in reading this book, you can profit by it without understanding the principles described in this chapter. This especially is true if your major purpose is the accumulation of money or other material things. That part right there kind of stuck out to me, because he was saying that even if you don't understand what's going on with the sixth sense, but you were able to understand what was going on with all of the other chapters, don't feel bad, because you'll still be able to accumulate money or material things if that was your focus. So if that's the reason why you went and got Think and Grow Rich or decided to listen in to the blog talk, it'll definitely benefit you in that area. But I think what it's suggesting or what it's indicating is that there's some things out there that are more valuable than money or material things that if you read this book, you can kind of stumble upon or come upon or learn about yourself that would be more valuable to you than money. But if money was your focus, even without understanding the sixth sense, you can kind of be in a realm that you need to be in order to tap into those income circles. But we really have to look at what we're trying to learn from this book as well, because when it gets into the sixth sense, we discussed it last week. Palm Beach Planners did an excellent job. And even before that, when we were on, we kind of touched on the fact that, you know, even though this book speaks about growing rich, It's also speaking about how you're growing as a person, those mindsets and those thought processes that you have as an individual, and are they healthy or are they destructive to you as far as being successful. And, you know, as we continue to discuss this book in this particular chapter, it has a lot to do with what are we going to implement? Are we going to use these things that the book is teaching us, or are we just going to say, you know, look at them and say that they're good for information? So, you know, just something to point out, just a little tidbit for you guys so that, you know, you can kind of home your mind in on what we're actually focusing on with the sixth sense. Anybody?
Chad, this is Ann McNeil. I wanted to chime in. I'm reading, in addition to The Think and Grow Rich, I'm reading a book titled Prosperity by Charles Fillmore. And I just wanted to add something to what we're discussing from his perspective, because last week I mentioned that to me the sixth sense has a number of different names, and
right,
one that comes to my mind immediately is the spirit or God or the God mind. And I'm just going to read a part here from his book, if that's okay with you.
Okay.
Great. He says, "The mind of man is built on truth. And the clearer your understanding of truth is, the more substantial your mind becomes. There is a definite and intimate relation between what we call truth and this universal substance of being. When the one mind is called into action in your mind, by your thinking about it, laid hold of the substance by the law of attraction or sympathy of thought. Thus, the more you know about God, the more successful you will be at handling your body and all your affairs. The more you know about God, the healthier you will be. And, of course, the healthier you are, the happier, more beautiful, and better you will be in every way. If you know how to take hold of the universal substance and mold it into your uses, you will be prosperous. Mind substance enters into every little detail of your daily life, whether you realize the truth or not. However, to establish yourself in a certain security in the possession and use of the universal life, love, intelligence, and substance, you must get a consciousness of it by first mentally seeing the truth. The reason why I thought that was somewhat related to this, I'll read the last part. It says the Holy Spirit is the executive official through whom divine mind enforces its laws. When we talk about the sixth sense, it's all about our mind and how we use that mind, if you will, being guided by the Spirit. Now, these are handing your words in my interpretation of what I just read. But how do we choose moment by moment to allow the sixth sense to lead and guide and move us into the direction that we are affirming from what we have decided we want to bring forth in our life? And so when we look at how we mastermind the 10 different areas of our life, we really have to make a conscious decision to become more and more and more in tune with the word of God, if you will, in order, like Danielle said, in order to be empowered with the sixth sense, listen to what it says, and then act on what it says. Because I think, going back to Danielle's point about before the age of 50, there are many people who have become aware of that sixth sense in their mind, body, and spirit, and they begin to act on it. I think one of the reasons why the author said after the age of 50, because oftentimes we don't act on what we feel and what we hear, the spirit telling us or the sixth sense telling us. You know, it says go left. And he said, you know, that road to my right seems like a shorter way to get to my destination. Maybe I don't have to do what everybody else did. Maybe I can take a shortcut, you know, whatever that may be. Use your imagination. And then you take the road to the right, and you find out it's not the right road. The sixth sense told you, or the spirit told you, or the one line told you, or the universal truth told you to take the road to the left. Now you've got to go back to that fork in the road and take the road to the left. But by taking that road to the right, there were many lessons and experiences learned. So the next time you get to that fork in the road, you still may take the road to the right, although the Spirit told you to take the road to the left, but maybe you don't go down that road as far. So I just think that when we think about really becoming in tune with the sixth sense in our own lives and then helping those who we mastermind with, you know, become a little bit more conscientious, it is really coming back to what I just read about the universal truth and God and really becoming in tune with his word and what he said, because really it's just one mind, it's one spirit, it's one sixth sense, if you will. Thank you.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Go ahead.
Miss Ann, you're awesome. Check this out. While she's reading, I'm thinking about the verse in the Bible, and I'm not a biblical scholar, so of course I don't know the street address to the verse. But it says, "Let us make man in our own image, and let him have dominion over the land, over the earth." Right? When I hear what Miss Ann is saying, it's telling us in that verse that listen, you were given the divine power to have dominion over everything that your feet, anything that your hands can. Anything that your mind can conceive, you have power to make that a reality. You know what I mean? We're talking about our sixth sense. Our sixth sense is merely one component of it is merely tapping in tapping into the God that is in us, the God that we were all born with, a God with God consciousness. You see what I'm saying? We were all born with the same powers that lie within in Christ. We were born with those things. How do we tap into them? The sixth sense is giving you a better understanding of your God consciousness, your rightful given power, your lawfully given power. You dig what I'm saying? But you have to learn to tap into it. The distractions are what keep us apart, just keep us away from tapping into that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm a victim of it because, just like Danelle said earlier, I think Chad said, this isn't something you can turn on and turn off. You know what I mean? But for so long, we tried to be in power of every aspect. I can do this, but, you know, no matter where I'm heading, the plan that I have for my life. But if I veer off a little bit, it's no problem because I can always bounce back. You know what I mean? So when I hear Ms. Ann saying that, it automatically like took me to a biblical scripture. And once again, I ain't a preacher. I don't proclaim to be. I know what I know. You know what I mean? I understand what I understand, and that's right on time.
Yeah. I believe with Rose, you have something?
No, go ahead, and we're going to start with our first commercial break.
You said start with what?
No, go ahead, and we can before we take our break.
Okay, all right. Yeah, but well, just keeping up with what Vaughn was just saying, that, you know, it is a gift that comes to us. It is a ability that we already have within us to tap into. Because once you think about it, if we can tap into it at 40, I don't foresee it as we just now getting the perceptors, growing our perceptors for the sixth sense, but we're just now being aware that we have those perceptors in our mind that are able to pick up on that that universal substance that Ms. Ann Manil was just talking about that's in the book. And as we look for that information, because when you really think about the sixth sense, you think about, well, it's a set of things that I don't know. And as I go through these situations where I need help, where I don't know the answer, or I need immediate suggestions or a way out of this problem, is when the sixth sense is tapped into and we're able to come up with answers that we may not have normally known, or be able to think very quickly on our feet, or come up with the solutions to certain problems, because we're able to tap into that sixth sense. And I believe that if we understand, put it in the way that Vaughn put it, as if it's something that was already deposited in us and we just have to make sure we stir up the gift, then we'll be able to see it and operate in it a whole lot differently. But we're going to a commercial break right now. So we'll go ahead and pause a second for a commercial break, and we'll be right back with some more.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
And we return. Chad?
Vaughn, goodness. Okay. I'm sorry about that. I was reading. I was like, yeah. Yeah, man, I get stuck on mute sometimes. I'm sorry.
Me too. Listen, let's look at the fifth chapter. The fifth chapter reads, this chapter on the sixth sense was included because the book is designed to present a complete philosophy by which individuals may unerringly guide themselves into attaining whatever they ask for in life. That's exactly what Ms. Ann just read.
Mm-hmm.
From another book. That's exactly what she just said.
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
It's not about the ambitious parts of life, the things I want. I want money. I want this. I want that. It's not about that. Of course, we all want tangibles. We are people that if you tell it to me, I might not understand it. But if I can see it with my eyes, I can understand it. But this is the way that you attain like anything. It's not just money. You have people that come from backgrounds that are so like wow, how did they even make it this far in life? Their backgrounds were that. Those are people that locked it into their mind. You know what? I'm going to overcome this situation. I'm not. Yeah, my mother was a crack addict. My daddy was an abusive alcoholic. This won't happen in my life. My sisters and brothers, no one has ever graduated high school, and I go on to get a PhD. How do these things happen? These are things that happen when people come into the knowledge and have the desire to succeed above a circumstance or a situation. This is what the book helps you to attain, to get that locked in. Once you have that, that means you have reeducated yourself or changed your circumstances, because in the midst of all that's going on, you never viewed yourself like that. It doesn't matter that you came out, you grew up in the Poking Bean Projects and all of your friends were drugs. It doesn't matter. You decided, you took made a conscious decision that was not going to be your life. Nobody was going, no person, no circumstances, no situation was going to determine your life. And that's what the book is telling you. It's not just about financial growth. It's not about that. You know, once you're in tune to yourself, if you're doing things that align with your gift, money gonna come.
Yeah.
It's going to come. And there's nothing wrong. Like Ms. Ann always tell me, to put a definite dollar amount on the things I want, knowing the things I'm willing to do that I'm going to give in return for that wealth. Mm-hmm. You dig what I'm saying? That's what it is. It tells us in the Bible, it says, that a man's gift will make, I think it's in the book of Habakkuk, it tells him that a man's gift will make room for him in the land and bring him before great men. So we all have gifts. How do we utilize that gift in the way that it was given, for the purpose that it was given? If we're utilizing that gift for the purpose that it was given, all these things shall be added unto you. Mm. What are all these things? All these things are all the ambitious things, all the things that you desire to attain.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, once again, I ain't no preacher. But
that's good stuff right there. That's one of the most important parts that you point out right there, Vaughn, is that it says that it's a complete philosophy. It wouldn't be a complete philosophy without the sixth sense or without all of the other principles that are there. And what he's saying, that in this book he had to add the sixth sense in order to give us that complete philosophy. We know that some people may be looking to attain certain things. Everybody's desire is not the same. But through these principles and through this philosophy, overall philosophy, we're able to see better. And that's why it is a philosophy, because I heard you say we won't be able, you know, we're not sometimes not able to see how people get through things. But this is right here is supposed to change our thinking and change our perception, where we're able to see ourselves doing bigger and better things. It's supposed to help us to understand how our mind works, how other people operate, and to really home in on those things as an individual, because you're going to talk a lot about coming up soon about doing self-inventory, really checking yourself, as Ms. Manil would say, to really get naked with yourself, to really see yourself, sit down and have that one-on-one talk with yourself to look and see, am I actually putting some of these things into plan, into action, or am I just talking about it and wanting to put them into action? But as it continues on, it's...
If you read in that same paragraph, I don't have my book in front of me, but I know it says, what is the starting point? The starting point is, of all achievement is just, go ahead. If you have your book in front of me.
I'm just going to read that line.
I just have my note. Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to read that line. I'm going to read the line for you right now. The starting point of all achievement is desire. That's the point you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's the very next line, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and it says, go ahead. You have something to put on there?
No, go ahead.
Okay. The finishing point is the brand of knowledge, which leads you to understanding of yourself. That's what we just got through talking about, understanding of yourself. That has to be first. You have to understand yourself, you know, before you understand, you know, how you're going to operate with others. Understanding of others, they will understand of other next. That's why it's next. Understanding of the laws of nature. Understanding of recognition of happiness. So we have to make sure that we understand these things. So when it comes to the knowledge that we have and the understanding that we need, because of the knowledge that we obtain from this book and other books that we read, and actually everything that's geared towards our desires and our goals that we read, is going to help us to understand ourselves. So that we can also understand others, and definitely the laws and the natures that we operate or that we have to operate in. The Bible talks about that a lot, the laws and the natures that we have to operate in. One law that we all know that is, you know, that doesn't have anything to do with religion is the law of gravity. That's a law that we have to operate in. There's no way for us to go around operating in that law. But the knowledge of that law will lead me to understanding myself, to understanding others, to understanding even the recognition of happiness, to be appreciative of, you know, some of the things that we have in front of us. But we're going to go ahead and continue, unless anybody has something to add.
Yes, oh, Chad.
Go ahead.
Yeah, can you go to page 193, please?
193? Okay.
193.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, on page 193, I just want to just go back in order to go forward. The title of the page says, genius is developed through the sixth sense. The reality of a sixth sense in human beings has been well established. The sixth sense is creative imagination. The faculty of creative imagination is one which the majority of people never use during an entire lifetime. And if used at all, it usually happens by mere accident. A relatively small number of people use with deliberation, purpose, and forethought the faculty of creative imagination. Those who use this faculty voluntarily and with understanding of its functions are, by definition, geniuses. The faculty of creative imagination is the direct link between the finite human mind, here we go, and infinite intelligence. All so-called revelations referred to in the realm of religion, so when you made that comment about, religion and all discoveries of basic or new principles in the field of invention take place through the faculty of creative imagination. When ideas or concepts flash into one's mind through what is popularly called a hunch, they come from one or more of the following four sources. Number one, infinite intelligence. Number two, one's subconscious mind, wherein is stored every sense impression and thought impulse which ever reached the brain through any of the five regular senses. Number three, the mind of some other person who has just released the thought or picture of the idea or concept through conscious thought. Number four, the other person's subconscious storehouse. Now, when we talk about our, you know, using the sixth sense, a lot of times, we don't realize, Chad, that Mm-hmm. This sixth sense is all around us. When we think about these four different places it comes from, it helps us to understand why we have these hunches, we have these nudges, we have this urge to pull, again, like I said, to the left road instead of to the right road if we're in the fork of the road. This is where it comes from, and that's why, going back to Nell's point again, when we are before the age of 50 and we study this information and we use it and we study it and we use it and we become more in tune with it, this is where we hear about people who are geniuses. I mean, whether you think about people like the creators and the founders of gravity and many of the laws that we use, or the technology that we use, we think of these people as geniuses. But in essence, they just decided to focus and follow those hunches, you know, the other person's subconscious storehouse, the mind of somebody else, you're beasting in a mastermind opportunity, if you will. That's why masterminding becomes so important, because when we are masterminding with each other about any ideas that we have, look at the wonderful events that Ron and Rose did. They had an idea, and they bounced that idea on other people. And then the more they bounced it, the more they thought about it, they saw this can fulfill a need. They're geniuses. They're geniuses. They followed the sixth sense, it, you know, suggested, first of all, we should move. And after we move, you know, there's a need here. And then one thing led to another, led to another. So I just want to just go back to that page, because the previous chapter on the mystery of sex transmutation has a lot of information about the sixth sense, and it just really prepares us for how to use that creative imagination in preparation for chapter six. Thank you.
That was awesome. That was awesome, because I'm glad you went back to that, because a lot of people don't understand the connection between the sixth sense and the creative imagination, and I do think that that's a very important part, because a lot of the times as we grow older, or as we get, you know, sidetracked by the world, we begin to do away with the imagination process. And I think it's funny that Napoleon Hill recreates that process within the sixth sense by having the invisible counselors, and then, you know, helps us to understand that that's one of the ways that we tap into our sixth sense, not only through our own mind, but through the thoughts of other people's mind, or thoughts that may be just released into the atmosphere, and just having your creative mind work and being willing to accept those things that flash, those thoughts that flash into the mind, and begin to register those those thoughts, and then use them, you know, the way that, you know, they're supposed to be used. And I think a lot of the times when we get those thoughts, we are so busy with trying to find out, should we do this or should we not do this, or is this something for me, you know, is this coming from God, or is this coming from my mind? You know, we're so bogged down with all of those questions that we end up actually missing the opportunity to act on what the sixth sense is actually telling us to do. So we're going to go ahead and continue reading on in the chapter.
Let's take a commercial break, Chad, before we
Okay, we got a commercial. That's cool.
Okay.
All right.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com. Or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And we are forward. We are forward again. So,
hey, Chad. Yes, before you go there.
Yes,
before you go there, I wanna bring up something. We were just talking about the imagination, and a lot of times we allow our imaginations to be stifled around by others. For the most part, I was watching the news. It was maybe 2 or 3 weeks after the shooting at, you know, the elementary school shooting, there was a kid. There was a kid in kindergarten that he pulled out an imaginary grenade and threw this imaginary grenade into an imaginary box. Now, his reason for doing so was because he saw the evil that was in the box, so he wanted to destroy the evil. Right?
Yeah.
Remember what I said? There was an imaginary grenade and an imaginary box. This kid was suspended from school. He was a kindergarten. He was suspended from school, like in Minnesota or something like that. You dig? But my question at the time was, wow, who paid that close attention to a kid in a, you know, you understand what I'm saying? Who paid that close attention to see that, you know, to actually visualize what this kid was doing? That's one thing. And the next thing is, it happened all in his mind, right?
Yeah,
but he was punished for having an imagination. And a lot of times, as adults, as time goes on, our imagination is always stifled. And we can't allow that to happen because we were given an imagination for a reason. It just did not occur. It's not coincidental that we have an imagination. Some of the greatest inventions, every great invention started in the imagination. You dig what I mean? So for that, I want to I guess send a challenge to everybody listening, everybody that can hear our voices. Utilize your imagination. Utilize it. It's a gift. It's a reason why you imagine what you imagine. Utilize it for the reason that it was given.
Okay, I need to confirm what you're saying. On page 194, this is Ann McNeil. On page 194, to make your point, Vaughn, it says the creative imagination functions best when the mind is operating or functioning, concentrating, vibrating, as a result of some form of mind stimulation at a level of intensity and awareness that is significantly higher than that of ordinary normal thought. When the brain action has been stimulated through one or more of these 10 mind stimulants, it has the effect of lifting a person far above the horizon of ordinary thought and permitting that individual to envision distant scope, quality, and character of thought that are not available on lower planes, such as the one where a person is engaged in the solution of an everyday problem or business or profession. Now I'm going to jump over to page 195. It says, that which is known as one's conscious operates entirely through the faculty of the sixth sense. The great artists, and this goes to your point, writers, musicians, and poets become great because they acquire the habit of relying upon the still, small voice, which speaks from within through the faculty of creative imagination. It is a fact well known to people who have keen imagination that their best ideas come through so-called hunches. There is a great orator who does not reach his performance peak until he closes his eyes and begins to rely entirely upon the faculty of creative imagination. When asked why he closes his eyes just before the climaxes of his oratory, he replied, I do it because then I speak through ideas which come to me from within. Then it goes on to just talk about many different people who have used the sixth sense. Going to your point, Vaughn, and the story you just told about the young man, it's going to be interesting to see the impact that he has. Either his imagination will continue to be heightened, or like you said, it will be stifled in terms of not just his growth, but you heard that and you're now visualizing and repeating it. Just imagine how many other people all over the world have heard that broadcast.
Right.
Yeah. And for the most part, when I hear situations like that, you know, I often get to thinking about what is our role in that? What is our role as an adult? What is my role when I see a child do something like that? Is it my role to then cut off their creative imagination, or is it my job to help them to understand what they're going through, or understand how to use that gift? Because creative imagination is not really anything bad. It's actually a gift that we can use. That we see that the Napoleon Hill was talking about even way back in on page 193 and 194, that we can actually use this for our benefit. Yes.
So what you're saying is your role, with the knowledge that you have attained through reading this book and this chapter, your role when you find someone with that creative, those creative juices, so to speak, mm-hmm. it's your role to help them in every way that you can to groom it. You understand what I mean? That's our role. Our role is not to stifle. And we do that so much in our own children. Boy, stop that. This boy crazy. Yeah. He's not. He's using what was given to him. And I actually remember as a woman, and I knew exactly where she was going in the book. When she said, let's go to page 194. I knew where she was going. I knew the point that she was going to make. I don't know why we do things like that. And I'm quite sure it's because of our upbringing and the people that brought us up, and they were stifled, and I don't know where it started. But if we want to make society a better place, if we want to have a better lives for our children, we have to nurture their creative gifts, So that's my advice. When that situation comes upon you, and it's not just your own children, there's going to be young people that come around. It may be even older people, because older people have the mindset, I had an idea, but it won't work. Why won't it work? It won't work because you are not applying all of your strengths and your all of your resources to making it work. That's why. You're not dedicated. You're not driven to do so. If you give up on what's going on in your mind, it'll never become a reality.
That's true. So right in with that point right there, we're just gonna go ahead and just try to finish up this last two paragraphs that's in the book on Sixth Sense, so that we can get ready to give some last words and stuff. It says, this sort of understanding comes in its fullness only through familiarity with the use of the principles of the sixth sense. Hence, that principle had to be included as a part in this philosophy for the benefit of those who demand more than money. Okay, but we'll touch that a little bit later. Just want to read through this. Having read this chapter, you must have observed that while reading it, you were lifted to a higher level of mental stimulation. Splendid. Come back to this chapter again a month from now. Read it once more and observe that your mind will soar to a still higher level of stimulation. Repeat this experiment for time and time, giving no concern as how much or how little you learn at the time, and eventually you will find yourself in possession of the power of a power that will enable you to throw off discouragement, to master fear, to overcome procrastination, and draw freely upon your imagination. Then you will have felt the touch of the unknown something which has been the moving spirit of every truly great thinker, leader, artist, musician, writer, scientist, or statesman. Then you will be in a position to transmute your desires into physical or financial counterparts as easily as you lie down and quit at the first sign of opposition. So the way it stops right there is very powerful, mm-hmm. because a lot of times we do meet opposition. That's just a part of life. I'm going to the store and my car breaks down. I meet opposition. I get up in the morning, mm-hmm. and my power is out. I meet opposition. I go to work, mm-hmm. and I got an annoying coworker. I meet opposition. But it's not about meeting the opposition. It's about what do I do when I meet the opposition that makes the difference. How do I take hold of this situation? How do I become successful regardless? How do I become an overcomer regardless? And one of the things that Napoleon Hill is trying to tell us that we need to tap into is our sixth sense, to be able to listen to that still small voice. Because when I'm sitting in front of that boss or that coworker, and I really want to speak my mind, the still small voice may tell me, don't say anything. You know, don't say nothing right now. Stay calm or stay relaxed, or don't allow what they say to get to you. It could be a leader or a parent or a friend that was, you know, you may have shared your dream with them or your goals or your ideas or your desires, and they shot it down. That still small voice may say, don't give up on that. But don't let what that person said stop you from doing this, that, and the other. You know, and many times in my life, I have had many ideas that I brought to people, and people have did the same things or brought up question after question after question to kind of make me not want to do that particular job anymore. And one of the things that the sixth sense or that still small voice would tell me would be, all right, you take all of the negative rebuttals and you find solutions for them. You know, and these are things that we can all do, and we can all tap into this stuff if we're able to allow these principles to work within us. So that's going to bring us to the next part, which is faith versus fear. But we're going to go ahead and open up the lines for anybody that would like to call in and have a comment. Definitely any Facebookers that would like to put a post up that we will be able to read on the radio and then answer your questions. And also for any of the group members that's on right now, Palm Beach Planners or Plan with Intentions right now, anything that anybody would like to share before we get started with our breakdown of today's lesson.
We have Chad. We have Rufus Curry on the line. Rufus, your line is open.
Okay.
Hey, how you doing? This is the Rufus Curry, Jr. You're the only one you ever meet. This is one of the halves of the new Sell to Success show, myself and Laura Greer. You know, Vaughn, I had to come in and chime in because I was drawn to the hairy chested conclave, and I had to come in and back up my brother. You know what I'm saying? Because represent for those masterminders out there with hairy chest. Not that we're excluding those of the other gender who may have hairy chest also, but that's another show. Anyway.
Listen here,
anyway.
Don't get us started, okay?
Okay. But you know what, Devon? You're absolutely right. Because you know what? I teach high school. And you know what's interesting is that when we talk about growing up, when I think about Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, when I think about Peter Pan, when I think about, the Wizard of Oz, what have you like that, and we talk about conformity and responsibility. You know, when we gain responsibility as we grow, when I was a child, I spake as a child, thought as a child, when I grew up, became a man, I put away childish things. But I think in terms of childish things, we put away creativity, ingenuity, the whole nine yards also. And then we seek this mundane, humdrum life. And what we do is we rely on the approval of others. Now, here's the thing. Just like you were saying, you've had ideas that were shot down. And that's cool. Your ideas were shot down. But the thing that we must remember is this. This idea was given to who? It was given to you. And sometimes when you put that idea out there on the table, individuals may be ordained to say, hey, look, not good enough, like Sam Braithwaite on a commercial. Or like when Moses went to Pharaoh and said, hey, man, look here. Yeah, let these people go. He was like, not good enough, not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? So he had to refashion, go back to the drawing board to see whether his resolve and faith and the whole nine yards are there, because ultimately the idea is placed in your hands, in your mind, in your heart, and it's up to you to bring it to fruition. Now, so when we look at that, everybody's not going to jump on the bandwagon of this great idea. You look at Henry Ford in the automobile. You look at Tesla, who was a genius, who was working as a aide to Thomas Edison. And Tesla was stone cold brilliant. He was a scientist. Thomas Edison wasn't a scientist. He was a guy who had the ability to form a mastermind and bring together great minds, and he had ideas, and he used those great minds to fashion his ideas. But Tesla said, hey, look, you know, I have to take my ball and go somewhere else. And he left. So when we talk about imagination, a lot of times we have their great ideas. I tell my kids all the time, one day when I get billions of dollars, I'm going to invest in cemeteries, I'm going to buy the cemeteries, I'm going to dig up all the graves, cut the heads off, reconstitute the brains, and extract the idea material out of all of those brains that died in those heads and went into the graveyard, and I'm going to make billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars. Because we're waiting for approval, the approval of someone else who was not ordained to bring that idea to fruition anyway. Approval.
Stop preaching.
Stop preaching.
It's ridiculous. I read somewhere that they asked the question, what is the greatest tragedy known to man? And the answer to that is the greatest tragedy is for a man to live a life and die without ever utilizing or facilitating, and I'm paraphrasing, his God-given talent, not bringing that into its fullness. You see what I'm saying? So in other words, what it's saying is for us to die with what God gave us, the reason that we lived in the first place, the reason why we were created in the first place, we took it to the grave.
This is where Matthew says, and God tells the story, the parable of the talent. Why do you think the man who hid the talent was cast away and his talent was taken from him? We don't think about that literally, but that talent can be whatever gift you want to consider. That is all biblical. It's all scripture. And that's why when we talk about the sixth sense, it all goes back to the spirit. And like Rufus said yesterday, it has so many different names, but it's all scriptural. So it's very difficult for one to really become in tune with the sixth sense and the spirit without knowing. We don't have to be biblical scholars, but we need to be aware of what the book says. I mean, we're reading Thinking Grow Rich, and a lot of us, you know, realize that this book, when Napoleon Hill first wrote the book, Christ was all in the book, and it wouldn't sell, and he had to take Christ out, and that's why you can see the thread of the spirit all through the book, but not the word Christ and Jesus mentioned in the book. And it became a number one bestseller when he took the word out. He didn't take the spirit out. So a lot of what we're reading is based upon biblical principles. And so what you just said, both of you, is all from Matthew in terms of the talents.
True.
Absolutely. So, Chad, you want to wrap up the faith and fear, the paragraph? I think that's the last paragraph on that chapter before we have Walter do our closing.
Well, what I was going to ask you to do you have your book? I was going to ask you to read it for me.
Actually, I don't. I'm looking at some notes.
I'll read it. But I'm not sure Danielle wanted us to go here before Walter comes on. Danielle, can you speak to this, please? Do you want us to go here before Walter comes on?
Yes, as a matter of fact. It introduces what he's going to talk about.
I'll read it. Previous chapters have described how to develop faith through autosuggestion, desire, and the subconscious mind. The final page of this book will present detailed instructions for the mastery of fear. Here will be found a full description of the six fears, which are the cause of all discouragement, timidity, procrastination, indifference, indecision, and the lack of ambition, self-reliance, initiative, self-control, and enthusiasm. Search yourself carefully as you study these six enemies, as they may exist only in your subconscious mind, where their presence will be hard to detect. Wow. Remember, too, as you analyze the six ghosts of fear, that they are nothing but ghosts because they exist only in one's mind. Remember, also, that ghosts, creations of uncontrolled imagination, have caused most of the damage people have done to their own minds. Therefore, ghosts can be as dangerous as if they lived and walked on the earth in physical bodies.
So that's where we're gonna put a pin in and allow Walter to come on. Well, Danella could probably give him his introduction, but that right there is basically sums up the last part of the Sixth Sense, because at the end of the day, after you tally everything up, it's going to come down to your faith and what's been said to you and what you read and what you know, or it's going to come down to your fear causing your faith to be diminished and you're not accomplishing the goal that you have set before you. One of the things that I heard a while back was that anything that you have a problem letting go is the fear attached to that particular thing. So now I kind of use that principle in my daily walk to kind of help me to make it to where I need to go, so that I don't live my life by fear, so that I can live my life encouraged. Like we just got through talking about some of those dreams that get killed, or some of those hopes and aspirations or creative imaginations that get stifled. This is how we push past that. So, all right, now I'm going to go ahead and allow Danelle to come on and then give us our introduction.
So now we have what has been expressed to me as the favorite part of the show for a lot of people. Walter Hamilton will come on and give us our closing thoughts, and which will also be an introduction for the month of April. We'll have the Palm Beach Life Planners hosting the show for the month of April and discussing the next chapter in the book, How to Outwit the Six Ghosts of Fear, which happens to be the epilogue in this chapter. So, Walter, if you're ready, we are all ready. Walter?
Maybe he's on mute and don't know it.
Probably. Okay. Anne, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, can you talk about the epilogue, because you've read the book several times, and what the Palm Beach Life Planners will be what the epilogue is about, and let me get with Walter, please.
Okay. Uh-huh. Well, while we're waiting for Walter to come on, Rose.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
I'm
while
here.
We're waiting for everybody, while we're waiting for Walter to come on, as a part of the Palm Beach Life Planners, Laura Greer, Anne McNeil, Sharon Jackson, Betty Knighton, and Doretha Dennis, we will be next Saturday talking about the epilogue and part of Thinking Grow Rich, which you will find on page 239 in your book. And the epilogue starts with how to outlive the six ghosts of fear, which is one of the reasons why faith versus fear becomes so vitally important. And while we think about, you know, ghosts as being something that is physical in nature, if you will, when we're very, very small, oftentimes we bring that into manifestation during our adult life, because if each of us on this line and those who are listening to us in the future will just think about, I think Rufus or somebody mentioned about the, what was the movie with the lady with the head turning around in the 70s?
The Exorcist.
Exorcist. Mm-hmm. Yes. I was listening to Les Brown on a CD.
That's why I'm
that he did. Who is this laugh on the radio? Who is this?
That's Danelle.
This is Danelle.
Oh, uh-huh.
Well, anyway, Danelle was even born when I saw The Exorcist as a senior in high school, and I was listening to Les Brown talk about what's one of the reasons why today he doesn't watch scary movies, because when he saw The Exorcist, he thought it was just so real that he drove home real fast, and he was trying to get out of his car, and he said, they got me,
And he rolled the window down. He was hollering and told his wife, he said, open the door, open the door. They got me, they got me, they got me. She said, fool, take your seatbelt off. a lot of times we, as young people, we bring these ghosts of fear into our real lives. And so this is one of the things that we're going to be talking about. And those ghosts, they appear in different forms. And one of those is just not making a decision and criticism and ill health and becoming old and the fear of death and many things that are just not real, but they become real in our subconscious. So next week we will be talking about the ghost. The ghost of fear, and how do you outwit that? So I just wanted to just kind of give that preview as we prepare to wrap up.
Thank you. And Walter is on the line, and he is ready. Walter?
Yes. Fear is false evidence appearing real. Fear of poverty is having nothing and doing nothing. The fear of criticism. Great minds always encounter violent opposition from mediocre minds, which are negative minds. Fear of ill health. My favorite book says, let the leaves be your medicine and the fruit be your meat, and you will have good health. The fear of loss of love of someone. If you love something, let it go. Set it free. If it comes back, it's yours. We can't miss something we never had. The fear of old age. We don't grow old. When we continue to learn, once we continue to learn, we grow gracefully. The fear of death is a transition of the spiritual world. Once we learn about the spiritual world, we won't fear death. We come from the spiritual world to go into the physical world, so when we leave and have this transition, we become more spiritual. The fear of not caring about the next generation. We sometimes have to teach our next generations about fear so they will stop being in fear, and some people will be lucky. Luck is a fit opportunity. Opportunity is your fit time, and when it's our time, our army can't stop you. Conquer fear and doubt, and we conquer failure. Worry comes from an Anglo-Saxon word which means to stifle, to kill, to choke off. So why pay interest on something that may not come to pass? Truth bows to no human shrine, seek neither place nor applause. All she asks for is a hearing. Truth goes through three stages: ridicule, violent opposition, then is accepted on its own merit. We shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. Whatever you're seeking is seeking you. We can conquer our fears when we stop fearing. Don't fear. Risk to be free. When we risk, we can't grow. When we can't grow, we can't be our best. If we can't be our best, what else is there? We must take risks to conquer our fears. To love is to risk not being loved in return. To live is to risk dying. To hope is to risk despair. Try is to risk failure. But risks must be taken. The greatest hazard in life is to risk nothing. A person who risks nothing, does nothing, has nothing, is nothing. He may avoid suffering and sorrow, but he simply cannot learn, feel, change, grow, love, or live. Chained by his own fears, he is a slave. He has forfeited his freedom. Only a person who risks is free. Risk to conquer our fears. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
Hey, listen, Mr. Walter. I'm waiting for you to finish up because you sound like Reverend Ike. I remember listening to the great Reverend Ike on the on the radio, and I promise you, you need your voice, not your message, your voice. I'm like, wow, all you got to do is say, and now you can send your donations to.
And on that note, this is the International Mastermind Association Plan with Intention Mastermind Group with the wonderful and upcoming for the month of April, Palm Beach Life Planners. I am Janelle McNeil, and on the line we also have
Rose Young,
Vaughn Young,
and I believe Chad, we lost Chad on the end, Chad Jackson.
And Ann McNeil, the master builder, building stronger and better lives from the Palm Beach Life Planners.
And you'll be hearing from the Palm Beach Life Planners in the month of April. We thank you all for joining us, and we will see you next week. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you.